thank you for being here. I know that there are a lot of options at a meeting like this, and to be here first thing in the morning, thank you. And I appreciate being invited to share this framework that I have been using to mentor new researchers in their thinking of how to develop a research portfolio on disability research. So what I wanted to do was start with recognizing somewhat landmark publications, the 1991 and 2007 Institute of Medicine Reports on Disability, and also, of course, the World Health Organization's release of the International Classification of Functioning Disability in Health. And I do this so that we can all start from recognizing the definition I'm going to be using for disability in this presentation, and so we're all operating from the same context. And ultimately that all of these reports each reflect disability as an interaction between the person and their environment. So since that report in 1991, I think we've been fortunate in this country to see some advances in policies and changes in systems, particularly related to regulations for tech and telecommunications, accessibility requirements resulting from the ADA, and also some interesting community system changes for universal, accessible, and transgenerational design. Where I'm really going to focus the discussion today is the limited amount of research we've had on the role of the environment on disability. The majority of research in this area really has been focused on mobility limitations in the built environment, and also, although an important perspective, the focus of the next largest body of literature is really on how or whether people perceive environmental features as barriers. I recognize this is an important component of this research, but where we're limited at this point is understanding the environment's effect on functioning, social participation, or cost to the individual, the effectiveness of interventions to modify the environment, and we're really lacking in having prospective controlled studies that directly evaluate people's functioning and participation in the community. So I'm going to focus the rest of this presentation then on how I've developed this framework to guide the development of research portfolios in this area. So by a show of hands or a nod, are you familiar with the ICF at some level? Fabulous, okay, so then I can skim over this because I didn't get participation or approval to use this the way I probably should have for this presentation. But the ICF, as we all know it, at least as a framework, was developed to really move away from the consequence of disease to develop instead the components of health as a classification that suggest really a dynamic interaction between each of these here. Disability in this framework is really brought outside of, and you don't see it on this screen at all, really brought outside as an umbrella term describing a process of this interaction, a process between the individual and these contextual factors. This is a slight adaptation of how we can look at the ICF to really focus on these components here that are thought to create limitations and restrictions in activities and participation, creating limitations and restrictions. And the focus of the rest of this presentation is going to be primarily on the environment, but I don't want to exclude the recognition that we need to also be understanding more about person factors in this as well. So the environment, as described at least in the ICF, has five levels. And I put them specifically in this organization because the ICF really just lists them as five components without really suggesting any hierarchy or relationship on how these may be influencing disability. So here we have products and technology, natural and human-made changes to the environment, support and relationships, attitudes and services, systems and policies. So really no hierarchy, no embedded theory to support the influence on individuals. So what I'd like you to do is consider now the Institute of Medicine's report on promoting health in 2000 and their depiction of the environment, where we really have recognizing the individual and components of the individual here, but kind of a leveling of the environment in this framework. Social relationships, living conditions, neighborhoods and communities, institutions, and social and economic policies. So if we then think about ecological systems theory and look back to the work by Bronfen Brenner and the adaptations of that to health in the last couple of decades, we can consider that the approach to understanding health and disability can happen at multiple levels. We have factors within the individual that I'm not going to focus on today. Interpersonal, these are collections of individuals, peers, caregivers, people we work with, colleagues, organizations or institutions, so whether it's schools, work, healthcare services, our community, and our society. What's so fundamental about considering the ecological systems theory as an organization for understanding the environment is that we can look at health and behavior and thus disability as being influenced by the interaction of multiple factors at multiple levels. And we can also consider the possibility of a reciprocal causation, so really understanding a bi-directional interaction between the person and their environment. So that we can talk about this a little bit further, I want to depict this as spheres of influence. This was published in Health Education Quarterly in 1988. And what it shows us is really an organization of concentric circles here, that the individual sits within a grouping of individuals that they interact with, thus further influenced by organizations and institutions, then the community, and then society and public policy. That the influence is strongest on the levels within it. So for example, if we develop interventions or create change in organizations, whether it be healthcare, schools, or our workplaces, that this change at this level is going to have the strongest influence then on interpersonal, so groups of people here, and thus influencing individuals and potentially disability. However, it does recognize that there is a relationship between levels. So we have change that could be here at the organization, at the organizational level, can also have some directional change or influence on our communities. However, the strength is on the levels within it. So let's bring this back to how I've incorporated the ecological systems theory with the ICF. These now are the five components of the ICF organized into kind of this leveling of the environment using ecological systems theory. Attitudes, supports, and relationships, influenced by products and technology, further influenced by services and systems, natural and human-made changes to the environment, and then social and economic policies. By considering this organization, the environment, we can hypothesize the type of influence on the individual. And in doing that, we can then begin to further investigate how this then influences impairments, limitations, and restrictions. So how can integrating the ICF and the ecological model help direct further research? We can use the classification of the ICF, which is so rich. If you've ever had a chance to go on the online interactive framework or open the Red Book, I mean, the classifications within each of these components are vast. I mean, they could probably even be further defined. But really being able to further identify what factors have we not yet studied within these different levels, components of the environment. And then how do the factors in that level of the environment, let's say different products and technology, or different relationships, whether they be with different individuals or the attitudes around those relationships, how do those factors then interact with each other to influence disability? How do the factors between levels then interact to influence disability? So relationships and product and technology. I mean, I was on Skype this morning with my son, and then I think about, last night I was emailing my mother. Now, how do we then integrate the different components of relationships within products and technology within the realms that we work and operate every day? And so considering this, we can identify gaps in research and then further move to further a research agenda in these areas. And then, of course, always look at the interaction between the person and those components in both directions. Using this, we can hypothesize and test the strength of relationships and then begin to identify and test specific intervention points. Now, the classification of the ICF, it was already, I think, very overwhelming in that it identified so much that we could begin to look at and how little we actually knew. In organizing this framework, I think it may actually explode how little we know. But what I'd like to do is put this in an opportunity of how can we then develop a research program to advance research in this area. Guided by Donna Beadian's work and his framework for the relationship of healthcare and quality, I'm proposing and have been using with my students, looking at this as the relationship of environment on disability. Healthcare is a component of the environment, so I don't think this is too much of a stretch. But what Donna Beadian proposed and what we have seen in healthcare research is that good structure influences and increases the likelihood of a good process. A good process increases the likelihood of good outcomes. This is where I'd usually like to take questions, but hopefully we can have a discussion about this after. Using a healthcare example from my own work, I've been working in the area of stroke for, longer than I thought, over a decade at this point. But where I had started my work was really focusing on healthcare specifically and understanding stroke units, the need for standardized assessments, the updated technology, and how this influences care coordination, increase the likelihood of early access to rehab, continuity, good communication, how this then influenced better functional outcomes, and ideally, though less often measured, independence and fewer adverse events. But in thinking about this, and although I work with a fabulous group of clinicians, we really can't ignore thinking about the levels of the environment, then the relationships with people within these organizations, within these healthcare contexts. So I've been able to advance my research to now look at how the structure of healthcare then influences the interpersonal, and specifically interprofessional relationships. You know, how are we working as teams? How are we working with families? Because they're an important part of our healthcare teams to then influence care coordination, early access to rehab, to influence outcomes. But also important is we can't ignore that healthcare sits within our communities. So how then is the organization of healthcare interacting with community services, for example? And how does that then support better coordinated care? And how does that influence outcomes? So you can see that the kind of nested effect within the environment that I've embedded within my own research. So I haven't really worked out a nice way to visually depict this yet, because I've just been working through this with students and use this within my own work, because I think I'm still considered an early investigator. But in any sense, what I'm trying to communicate today is that we have the opportunity to study the structure of specific factors within a component, the structure of factors within multiple components, look at the interaction within a level and between levels, and look at how this influences the individual, the role in disability, specifically on impairments, activity limitations, and restrictions. I hesitated pulling examples broadly from the literature in case somebody was sitting in this room, so I'm using my own colleagues fairly because they know about it. Dan White and I went to graduate school together, and he this year published on a study looking at the presence of parks, public transportation, handicap parking, and the ability to drive on social participation. I really liked the study. I think it did a really good job at looking at things that, you know, we could definitely move to intervention and policy level change. In the study, though, what he showed was that the lack of parks, so not having parks in your neighborhood, decrease the likelihood of participating in organized social activities. So no parks, less likely to participate. Okay, well that makes some logical sense. I think some of the best research should be logical, so that's good. And then he also showed in the study that if you had participation, or if you had public transportation, you have fewer limitations than in social participation. So he has the opportunity now to go back and look at how parks and transportation could be working together. So these are factors within still our community at the same level, but how do those two interact? So could we then look at public transportation increasing accessibility to parks and how that may influence social participation? At this point, he's looked at these univariate relationships. This second study I wanted to introduce just to talk a little bit further about applying this integrated framework is from Julie Keyser. She's Dan's postdoc mentor and was my pre-doc mentor. She had a study published in '06 looking at factors and barriers to the environment on participation at 6 months post-hospitalization, looked at a lot of factors, and the only factor that was still significant at 6 months post-hospitalization was social support. This was measured using medical outcome study, social support survey, but what we can do now is go back and look at, well, what about social support? What's the structure of that social support system that was still influential at 6 months post-hospitalization? Who was in that network? How often were they involved? You know, what was that interaction? Where were they interacting? When were they interacting? And then we can also look at the process. Was it always positive? Was it negative? Was it supportive? Was it, I think you get the point. In any case, only by asking these questions can we begin to create kind of a logical progression in our research programs to advance the research on the disability person environment relationship. So I look forward to your feedback. I have this manuscript ready to go, and I thought I really can't move forward in disseminating this type of framework without feedback from how this may resonate with other people. So if you have time later in the day, I'd love to hear back from you. Thank you. Thank you.